Happy New Year's, Catalyst. As we were worshiping together, the picture that I got was the body of Jesus Christ, and you know the eye. The Bible, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand that I don't need you, you know. And I was the picture that I got was, you know, the body. The eye couldn't drive up, you know, there's a destination that God wants us to go to. And you know, there's a lot of curves in the street, there's cliffs, there's, you know, danger. And the eye could see, but without the hand, they can't, you can't turn the car, you can't turn the wheel. But then I was thinking, the hand without the arm is useless too, you know, and the arm without the body is useless. Without the organ, you know, the feet, you know, you need somebody to step on the gas. You need the feet and legs to step on the gas or brake. And as we were worshiping, the picture of the body of Jesus Christ, 2021 is here. And let's believe this together. Together as a body of Jesus Christ, we can do anything. We can overcome anything. Together, you know, the eye again, they could see, but without the hand, you can't turn. And the hand could turn, but without the eye, you'll crash, you know, it'll crash. And together, together as a body of Jesus Christ, whatever curves come, whatever cliff, we will be able to overcome together for 2021. Let's just pray before I get into the sermon. Let the Holy Spirit connect each one of you together. Okay? Even those online, Holy Spirit, connect each one of us together in the Spirit. There will be a spiritual connection with one another. And as we are connected, Holy Spirit connects us. Be encouraged. You are not alone. You're not alone. Yeah. We're going to overcome together. We're going to overcome in 2021. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the sermon is Waymaker. You know, Waymaker. I know there's a song, but I'm not going to sing it to you. you guys could all turn off if I sing it to you. The title's Waymaker, and it's biblical. It's from Isaiah 43, verse 16 and verse 19. Isaiah 43, verse 16 and verse 19. Verse 16 says, "This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters." And verse 19, see? And for 2021, we got to see it. See what God is doing. God saying, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And God's people said, amen. Now I want to talk about miracle, and as you hear this message, I don't want you to compare yourself to anybody in the church. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Right? Don't say, "Oh, God only does miracle," and you know, like Pastor Sam, if you're a pastor or a missionary. No, no. Each one of you. Right? In the eyes of God, you are His sons and daughters. God wants to use you to do miracles. And we need to believe this. We need to believe this together. You know, those who don't know God, the way they see God is impersonal. You know, God is distant, uninvolved, or God is angry. But those who know the Lord, you know, of course, we say, We proclaim this. We believe this. This is true, that God is eternal. God is infinite. He is all powerful. That he is all knowing. That he's sovereign. At the same time, he is gracious, loving, and merciful. And the problem with this is that we believe this to be true, but when we look at our life day to day, we don't experience this truth in reality. You know, if we claim that God is all powerful, we should experience and encounter miracles and victory. We should encounter the power of God flowing through us. There should be change. There should be fruit of the Holy Spirit. We should have more love, more joy, more peace. There should be more kindness. You know, Christians should experience those truths about God in the church, in our family, in our marriage, in this, you know, with our friends, in our workplace, in our personal life. Now, the gospel, you know, the gospel message, Jesus taught the gospel, but when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus also demonstrated the gospel power. He demonstrated the gospel power. There was healing. There was freedom. There was life change. And, you know, what limits miracle? You know, I need to qualify. When I talk about miracle, I'm not saying that you should encounter miracle every moment, every day, and every difficult situation you face, you should encounter miracle. Now, the charismatic circle will not like what I'm going to say. You know, they're going to say I'm a heretic or something. But you and I are not going to experience miracle in every situation, every circumstances, or every difficulty that we face. When I look at the Bible in Acts chapter 12, both in that one chapter, both James and Peter, Apostle James and Apostle Peter, were put in prison by Herod. James was killed. He was martyred. Peter was supernaturally delivered. One chapter. Is it that God loved Peter more than James and he just ignored James? No, that's not the case. When it comes to miracle, I want us to have a humble attitude. When it comes to, and I'm going to be honest, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't. You and I don't have all the answers. Why, why should someone get supernaturally healed? We hear testimony and some don't. We might think that we know the answer, but honestly, I'm being honest, I don't know. I think when we get to heaven, we will know, you know, why some have supernatural provision and some don't. Some, you know, of course, biblically, there's an obvious reason we don't experience miracle. You know, there are things that will pull us away from the presence of God. And of course, when we are pulled away from the presence of God, anything that drives away the presence of God will also cause God to withdraw his miraculous power through us. So we see in scripture, throughout scripture, when God's people turn from God and to pursue other things in place of God, in turn, God's people don't experience God's presence and the power. In scripture, it happened to individuals, it happened to groups, and even to whole nations. But when I read the Bible, and this is the reason, I want to give this message. When I look at the book of Acts, what the Bible says about the church, I believe we should believe for more. Okay? Much, much more. We need to have more faith to encounter more miracle. Catalyst, God has so much more miracles for us as a church. So much more. And I'm calling the church to be hungry for miracles in 2021. For 2021, when I look at the disciples of Jesus, those who were near Jesus, it wasn't idols or apostasy or rebellion that limited miracles, right? It was their faith. It was their lack of faith. The Bible says Jesus went to his hometown, people who knew Jesus, but because they lacked faith, he couldn't do many miracles. And it's not that Jesus couldn't do any miracle, but in God's sovereign plan, when you look at scripture, he does miracle through his people. He wants to do a miracle through his people. He could. He doesn't need us. He doesn't have to. But in his sovereignty, in God's will and choice, he wants to do miracle. He didn't need Moses, but he waited for Moses to be ready to be used to so that God could do miracle through him. You are a disciple of Jesus, and God is with us, each one of you. There's I believe a demonic spirit that's trying to make you compare yourself to other people, just make you look at your failures and your weakness, and even lie to you. You're not a good Christian. You're not even a Christian. Reject that lie. You are a Christian, and the Lord is with you. And I want to challenge you to dedicate 2021 to be a year of faith, where we're going to see miracles happen. And the church said, yeah. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24 says this. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24, have faith in God. If you have faith, it doesn't say, make sure you go to every meeting in church. Right? This is something we all could do, no matter how you feel, no matter what, when you became a Christian, no matter if you finished the Bible or didn't finish the Bible, reading the Bible, right? Have faith in God. If you have faith in God, and each one of you could do this, and don't doubt, you can tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it will. And it will. Everything you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have faith. Right? So what the Bible is saying is for the believers, for the children of God, each one of you, right? Faith opens the door to miracles, right? Moving mountains. Faith opens the door to miracles. In scripture, you will see God move and does a miracle, right? It is because somebody believed. It's because somebody believed. Mark 11 says, faith can move mountains. Again, in God's sovereignty, because he loves us so much, and because it's about relationship, it's about connection, his people's connection with God, he chose to do it through us. Through the miracle through us. In college, I was a pharmacy major. I studied a lot of laws of nature, a lot of courses that talked about laws of nature. I took physics, biology, anatomy, biochemistry, calculus, statistic, but Mark 11 says laws of faith is higher than the laws of nature. Okay? Faith moves mountains. Faith makes miracles happen. And so for 2021, let's walk in faith, see the laws of faith operate in our life so that we could see, the mountains move, that we could see more miracles. And what is the mountains? There are mountains in your life, in my life. And the question that I have, church, What are the mountains in your life? You know, just something that came to me is like something that happened in the family, in your childhood. There's a bondage, there's a stronghold. You know, what are the mountains in your life? What do I mean by mountain? What are some unsolvable problem in your life? It's unsolvable. No matter how hard you try, you keep falling into the same old pattern, same trap. If you don't have an unsolvable problem, you don't need a miracle. Okay? You know, and that's kind of obvious, right? Yeah. This is what I want us to focus on, not something, you know, there are many solvable problems that we face, okay? And in those areas, we don't need a miracle, okay? In those cases, you don't need a miracle. For example, you know, over the pandemic, you gain more weight, okay? Maybe 10 pounds or 15 pounds, okay? And do you need a miracle? No. What you need to do is go on a diet. You need to exercise. Don't go on those yo-yo diet, but you need to make it a lifestyle. Okay? Don't snack. Don't snack, you know, and set up some attainable goals. Okay? You don't need a miracle. Okay? You need to do those things. You don't need a miracle. You are financially stressed because of overspending. I need a miracle. No, you don't need a miracle. You need to stop overspending. Huh? That's what you need to do. You need to stop overspending. There is a common conflict in your marriage, this common conflict, you know, that many marriages go through. What do you need to do? A miracle? No. You need to humble yourself. You need to be stop being selfish. You need to show grace to one another. You need to communicate. Huh? You don't need a miracle. There's a person that's stressing you out, that belittles you. They expect too much from you. They dump everything on you. I need a miracle. No, you just need to set some godly boundaries. You need to pray for them. You need to forgive them. Okay? But you don't need a miracle. Miracles needed when there's an unsolvable, you can't solve it, this problem. And maybe for years there's an addiction. There's an idol you can't break. There's a sin. There's a weakness. There's an oppression or a bondage. There's a great barrier that's in your life to God's purpose, calling, and destiny. What is that problem that you cannot solve? And God is in the mountain-moving business. Okay? He is in the mountain-moving business. He has moved mountains throughout history of the world. God is moving mountain today, and God will move mountains in 2021. Church, say amen to that. When you look at scripture and the feeding of the 5,000, you know, mountains are problems that, you know, humanly you cannot solve. And the disciple face this problem. This was unsolvable. The disciples respond to this problem that they couldn't solve. You know, Jesus was teaching thousands of people in the desert, Judean desert, you know, far away from any restaurant or grocery store. You know, Jesus is teaching all day. And at the end of the day, people were hungry and tired. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "It's late, everybody's hungry. Send them away so they could go off to a village and buy food." Right? And so this, you know, it wasn't compassion. The disciples were just tired. They didn't want to deal with the people. Just send them away. That was the disciple solution. Send them away. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to confront this. And a lot of the unsolvable problems they cannot solve, that's our attitude. We don't want to deal with it. We want to hide it. We want to run away from it. We want to push it to somebody else. But Jesus says to the disciple, right? They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Okay? You give them something to eat. And again, we see here Jesus could have done it himself, but he says, you, right? Don't push it away. Don't excuse it. Don't run away from this problem. You give them something to eat. And the response of the disciple was impossible. Okay? Impossible. The disciples faced a mountain. It was a problem that they cannot solve. And Jesus looked at the 12 and says, you feed them. You feed them. And instead of responding with faith, they got upset, they got stressed, they got anxious. And there are problems that you cannot solve. Right? Let's rise up as a church. I'm not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to get stressed about it. I'm not going to get anxious about it. Right? And but the disciples, that's what they spend much of the effort on. 5,000 people. That's not, Jesus, that 5,000 didn't even include the children. Okay. How are we going to get that much food? How are we going to keep those food from spoiling in the desert? It's a desert. Okay. How are we going to distribute it? How are we going to do the cleanup? Who's going to do the cleanup? What if somebody gets food poisoning? Do we have liability insurance? That's what they spend a lot of time, energy on. Impossible. You're kidding me. We cannot do it. Let's not spend energy there. And remember what the disciples forgot. When faced with problems that you cannot solve, right, instead of focusing on the problem, the disciples forgot. The disciples forgot Jesus was standing next to them. Right next to them. Jesus, who can easily turn stone into bread, who can easily feed everybody in an instant, they were standing in the presence of the Son of God. So we know that he's all powerful. Right? But when it comes to the mountains in your life, do you know that he's all powerful? This is a personal thing that God wants to show miracle in. This problem that he cannot solve. God wants to do a miracle in you. Has God ever asked you to do something impossible? When you look at the problem, Moses in the beginning, and it's hard to walk in faith. A lot of people, didn't do a good job in the beginning. Moses' response was, not me, right? Not me. Jeremiah's response was, why me? Why me? But Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. This is what we need to do. High and exalted, seated on the throne. Isaiah was in the presence of God. Isaiah looked at God and not the problem. Moses was in the presence of God, but he didn't look at the burning bush, but he looked at the problem. Isaiah was looking at the Lord and not the problem. And God asked, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah in the presence of God's glory responded, "Here am I. Send me. Use me." This is the challenge. It's going to require faith, you know. Because Isaiah, you know, he in the presence of God, you know what he said? "Oh, I am a man of unclean lips, surrounded by people with unclean lips." You know, can you imagine? You know, he doesn't say, "I'm a heroin addict." You know, I gamble all the money, and you know, my family's broken. That's not what, I'm a man of unclean lips. Right. It's something that I think I failed in many times. I failed in many times. But don't let those failures in your past make you see. You got okay, not make you not see the way God sees you. You know, if God doesn't move mountains, we should just stop church. We should just stop church. We should disband church. If God doesn't move mountains, church will be a human institution and not God's kingdom. Church will have no power. There will be no transformation. There will be no love. Church will have no impact in our heart, in our family, in our church or our community. We need God to move mountains, right? And we all say yes to that, right? But moving mountain, God says, "I'm gonna do it through you. I'm gonna do it through you." We need God to move mountain. You and I have too little energy, so we need God's anointing. You and I have too little talent. We need God's spiritual gifts. You and I have too little resources. We need God's storehouse in heaven to be released. You and I have too little opportunity. We need God's eternal opportunity. You and I have too much brokenness. We need God's healing. You and I are harassed by the devil. We need God's presence, power, and freedom, and authority. And the good news is that God moves mountains through his people, right? Through his people. God came back to his hometown to people that knew him as a child, as a baby, knew the family, but they did not have faith. Jesus came to the hometown to do miracles. But because they did not have faith, Jesus couldn't do much miracles. Again, that's because in his sovereignty, he chose to do miracle through us. The city of Jericho, you know, when the miracle happened and the wall broke down, God didn't ask his people to do what other nations did when they faced a walled city. You know, other nation at that time used ladders and many died, you know, battering rams, you know, they dug tunnel, or most common, they laid a siege. But God asked, and his people were, you see, if you know that God does miracle, you will hear the Lord. What he's going to tell you what you need to do. But it's going to require faith. But if you don't believe in miracle, you would make ladders. You will make battering rams. You'll start digging tunnels. And you'll just wait and wait in the siege. You know, back then, if you laid a siege, you could take years, years and years. But God's people in the book of Joshua knew with all their heart, their God is a God of miracle. And because of that, they were able to hear the Lord. and obeyed the Lord. And what did God tell them to do? Walk around the city. Walk around the city. For 6 days, walk around one time. And on the seventh day, walk around seven times. And after you walk around seven times, shout. Okay? Walk and shout. Wow. What was God asking his people to do? Not use their human power, human effort, or human understanding, but do something that required tremendous faith. Walk and shout. And walking and shouting in that situation, it went beyond their understanding, their human wisdom, but they walked in faith to the end. And God did a miracle. What was impossible, it was supernatural. And it was through his people. God could have told his people, God's people, to wait and just watch me, right? God could have come in thunder and lightning and earthquake and destroyed the city. God didn't have to wait for his people to walk for 7 days, seven times on the seventh day. God didn't have to wait for them to shout. Can you imagine? God, you know, they walked around for 7 days and God waited for them to shout. Why? Because God didn't want to just come, look at me, I'm going to do this. Right? They shouted, and the wall came down. And if I was them, you know what I would, God wants to use me. Wow. Well, I didn't know I had that much power in shouting. God wants to use me. You know, God chose to do the miracle through his people. And God wants to do a miracle through you and me. And for 2021, let's walk in faith. Let's proclaim, shout, and tell the mountain to move. And God's people said, amen.